You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Talking Sex.
With Dr. Eve, who is back from the USA. Hello, Dr. Eve.
Eusebius, I don't think I've ever been more joyful to talk to you today than ever. Any other time, I am so thrilled to be safely at home and talking to you via Skype.
Yeah, no, me too. And I feel like we haven't spoken in like forever. It's amazing how addicted we are to each other. 2-3 weeks, even a week or two of not talking. And then in my head, I overestimate how long it is since the last time we spoke. Feels like 3 months ago.
It does. And I was actually supposed to be talking to you from New York City right now. But here I am back home again after just 10 days.
Absolutely. On that note, I saw one or two people asking you. You are extremely responsible as someone who takes civic duty seriously, but also from a civic duty point of view. One or two people, when you said you are just back in the country, were saying, I hope you're in self-isolation or self-quarantine. Tell us, firstly, what was your experience at the airport coming back here in South Africa? And what's going to happen to you now? Where are you physically? What's the protocol?
So I arrived in New York 10 days ago, just as things were becoming known. And literally within 24 hours, New York exploded. And everything shut down. Now, if anyone has ever been to New York City, you know that that's a city that doesn't sleep. And each day that I was there, more and more and more desolation occurred in the city. People just stopped walking around. Everything shut down. Every hour we're hearing more and more things that were shut down. The same as what I understand has happened here. The shelves got empty. People went on frenetic toilet roll and other kind of food searches. And everything has shut down, from movies to museums to theaters. Broadway shut down for the first time ever. There is just nothing that is open. The only thing that is open are grocery stores and pharmacies. People are still walking around in the park, but that's getting less and less as well, only kind of taking dogs out and children out for walks. So nothing has happened. My fear really began because I thought I would not be able to get back home again. I thought that I would be stuck at the airport, either that the flights would not be leaving the US or that I wouldn't be allowed back in. So I was greatly relieved when I was listening to Cyril Ramaphosa in New York and read Pierre Defosse that constitutionally it is my right as a resident to be able to get back in South Africa. So I was really, really anxious for many days there waiting to get back home again. The airport was absolutely sterling. I really have to compliment JFK as well as here in Cape Town International Airport, because of heightened levels of anxiety and fear that people have, fear of the unknown. They were so calm. Nobody was wearing masks, which I thought was really important because, as we know, according to protocol right now, the only people who should be wearing masks are people who are infected. And so there wasn't any sign of heightened intensity.
I think we've just lost Dr. Eve there, Abel. Let's see whether we can fix that. Are you back there with us, Dr. Eve?
Yeah, I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were talking about just how impressive the system has been. And when you came back in Cape Town as well, were they taking temperature, that kind of thing? What were they doing to just check? And what advice were you given? Were you told you must self-quarantine? Like physically, what happened once you got to Cape Town?
So once I flew via Dubai, and once I got to Cape Town, immediately as you got off the out into the airport, a temperature was taken from you. There's really nothing in your mouth. There's nothing that's physically contactable. They just put a temperature monitor close to your forehead. They measure it. They take the number of whatever your temperature is. You then get sent to a special place where you fill in your details so that obviously they can contact you, and you get a printed form very beautifully set out with all of the details of how to stay in quarantine. So we are forced to stay in quarantine for 14 days. So, whether that was forced on me or not, it doesn't matter if you're infected, if you're asymptomatic. It doesn't matter if you know what your status is, whether you are infected or not. We have to be in quarantine. So there was no doubt in my mind that I was coming home to be quarantined. So I am at home. My family have prepared. There's food and everything in my house for me. I will not see any of my family, friends, anybody for the next 14 days. Mm. I am going to be consulting via Skype. Please, anyone who's interested in knowing anything about protocols in a therapy room, they are on my website, dreve.co.za. I have put up a list of protocols of how one should manage oneself, and not only in my practice, but really in every single professional practice if you do go into one right now. The sense of relief of being here, it comes from being away from freneticism, which is in New York. The news is really quite alarming. It's in your face 24/7. People are really in terror. And here it is quiet. I'm stuck in a quiet suburb, so I'm very privileged, I guess. Mm. But I'm getting a sense that people are not really as alarmed or as alert. Listening to you this morning, Eusebius, there is just no choice. Yep. We have to not only protect ourselves, but we have to take on the responsibility of not infecting others, irrespective of whether we're infected or not.
Absolutely.
We're all going to be infected. Doesn't really matter. The health department cannot keep up with the testing of us who are looking or are asymptomatic. We have to just, and I'm sorry, I am going to say this and maybe I'm going to be kicked off, but this is my hashtag and this is something which is really important. We just have to stay the fuck at home. That's it. You just have to do that.
Absolutely. And it is a hashtag and it's a message that is critically, critically important. What's also important is what is happening to us in our romantic lives, in our relationships, in terms of intimacy. With so much heightened anxiety, existential fears going around, I am looking forward immediately to us getting into our theme for the day, which is love in the time of Corona. And talking about sexual health and the coronavirus, and a lot of this has to do with behavior and fears, social isolation, social distancing. And there is a million and one things we can talk about here. Where shall we start?
Let's start by saying that COVID-19 is not a sexually transmitted virus. This is the first thing that I want us to be aware of, because it just kept coming to me how there is the shame beginning to creep in around people who are positive, just the same as the shame crept in around people who are found to be HIV positive. And I really want that to not happen here. It's not a sexually transmitted virus. And obviously, I know how people respond to sex. There's a sense of shame and blame that immediately happens. No. The fact is that sex is very juicy and there are a lot of fluids. So let's follow the protocols that are in place. We really want to make sure that we have social distancing. Number one, and let's try and put it into two categories. For people who we know are infected, you may have a partner who is positive, who has tested positive, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic. You have to have social distance from that person. They need to be going to stay somewhere else. They need to be just quarantining somewhere else so that you do not have any social contact with them for 14 days, just to make sure that they get over.
You know, something that strikes me now, and this is a dynamic conversation, please join Dr. Eve and I. What has happened to your sex life, your dating game? If you are single, if you like casual hookups, are you now thinking twice? Have you stopped in the last week? Are you getting scared? What's happened at home? Are you scared of having sex with your partner, for example? Are you holding hands? Do you have weird thoughts when you are kissing, even if you don't want to voice them? Let's go there, as we do on this show in this segment. 011-883-0702. And on that note of speaking dynamically around these issues, Dr. Eve, I think, and I don't know if you'll agree with me, especially in South Africa, we associate the idea of, or the word positive, with HIV and STI.
Yeah, that's
And that is really interesting, because now we are getting used to the idea of being positive with COVID-19, yeah. But we have a good 15-20 year social public messaging and private discussions, private debates around being HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And even if you are perfectly rational, the stuff, the feelings, the associations with being positive in relation to HIV is surely going to be adjacent to the idea of being covert positive.
Right, and that's why I started out the conversation by saying this is not a sexually transmitted virus. And let's take the shame away. I mean, I've heard the whispers as I've come home. People have called me and said, do you know so-and-so is positive? there's like a shamefulness. We're going to be stigmatizing and giving people further isolation just because, I mean, I feel it even like people are going to think that I am. That's nonsense. If somebody is going to quarantine, as we all should be, or social distancing, that is somebody who should be applauded. We are not going to be getting it through sex. We're not going to be shaming people because we know we shame people because they have sex, yet we're all doing that or wanting to do that, right? Let's really, you see this, I feel so strongly, we've got to move away. We do not want to be stigmatizing people. There is so much fear and anxiety around this virus and so much unknown. Let's not add the burden of shame to it as well.
Absolutely correct. 011-883-0702, have you got questions about corona and sex? What are your own fears? Have you instantly adopted behavioral change, but you're not sure whether you need to? Do you want to check in whether you're being overly cautious or whether you're being rational and reasonable and proportionate to what we are learning in real time about COVID-19? Give us a call on 011-883-0702. Here's one from Julia Lowe. Did Dr. Eve just drop the F-bomb? She did. Is children's hour over? Yes, it is. And that's why I said it's adult radio. We also use other words that not every family or adult enjoys. You can hear a word like dick in this hour. This show has a very particular history. Most of you are not new to that history, but that's why I say it's adult radio. I've said it twice, and I'll say it a couple of times again in case you're a new listener. So this is not children's radio, this particular hour. But the rest of your question is beautiful, Julia. And also, thanks for asking on the F-bomb. It is important. If you were offended, sorry about that. But we do speak plainly here, and it's an adult segment. But here's the question, Dr. Eve. Julia says, a friend who works in AIDS prevention once told me, Eusebius, that if everyone could abstain for just 6 weeks, it would break the HIV transmission cycle. Could COVID be the magic bullet? So, number one, it's not sexually transmitted. Number two, would it be useful if I stop having sex for the next couple of months?
No, absolutely not.
Yay! Thanks, Doc.
There is no evidence to show, and Eusebius, I have to say that I started doing research, obviously, while I was in New York. There's no research yet. I've, you know, scoured and scoured and spoke to colleagues. We don't have any research. So what I'm doing is that I am using the evidence that there is around COVID-19 to extrapolate that towards sexuality. So we know, for example, that we should not be kissing. We shouldn't be do deep tongue kissing because these are respiratory droplets, and we know that this, we have a lot of fluids in our mouth, so we don't want to be doing deep tongue kissing. I think it's a creative time for couples to be sexual and doing things sexually a little differently. And I have some ideas which are going to be posted every single day on my social media, whether it's Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook as well. So deep tongue kissing is definitely not a good idea. If you are going to be, when you are involved with sexual activity, please.
Yeah, technology is failing us a little bit there, Dr. Eve. I hope you are aware of it, your end, because I don't want to lose your insights there. And we'll see whether you can get, it's okay. Technology is going to fail us a lot as we also learn to do business unusual. For example, we don't have any guests in studio until further notice for every segment of every part of our shows, and other broadcasters are doing exactly the same as well. But we have you habitually on a line, and it normally works even from the other side of the world. You were talking about, I almost said deep cleaning, a deep the do's and don'ts in terms of kissing.
Yeah, no kissing. There really shouldn't be any deep tongue kissing at all. There shouldn't be any deep tongue kissing or kissing. Also, wash your face. And think about that. You know, you really want to wash your face and your hands before, during, and after sexual activity. Wet wipes have to be your best friend. Just stock up on wet wipes if you can, and just keep wiping your faces. It's kind of quite nice and lovely and romantic to wipe each other's faces and wipe your hands before, during, and after sexual activity. Your genitals, no, but, you know, really keep yourself, your faces and your hands clean. Exploring bodies, that's a really beautiful thing to do. Not with gloves, not with gloves. Gloves are not a good thing to be using because the droplets stay on the gloves. Rather use your hands and just keep wiping your hands with
that
sanitizer.
That is such an important information point. I was staring at my latex gloves just the other day.
Yeah, no, don't do that. You know, I think, I mean, you know, you see this. My son is a professor of infectious diseases. He's at the front line here at Groote Hospital. And as I arrived at the airport yesterday, he just said to me, don't wear gloves. Don't wear gloves. They're just absolutely, you shouldn't be using them because the droplets stick to it. Rather use your sanitizer as you're going through the airport.
Okay.
So that's a... It's important for everybody to know that.
But here's a positive thing, right, about exploring the body that I think is really, really cool. The other thing that came to my mind, and I sort of paused it because I had other issues to think about, and I paused it because I knew you and I will talk about it now anyway. There are some fun things that isn't just now about prevention, containment, and managing COVID-19. That's also just sexually fun. For example... Mm-hmm. I wonder if you are listening with your casual hookup or with your regular partner or someone that you're married to, when last did you shower together and have fun while showering and giving each other a good soaping?
Right. And there we have such opportunity for very healthy, wonderful, clean mutual masturbation in the shower, wonderful oral sex in the shower, anal play in the shower. Really fun things to do because you already are kind of cleaning yourself. So here is examples of different ways of sexually playing with each other. Side by side, mutual masturbation, lovely things to do. I just think this is a fantastic opportunity to have much more intimacy with eye gazing, with talking to each other, to be doing things that are out of the box, that you really pay attention to each other.
And what do you mean by eye gazing? Are you saying don't touch but look deeply into his eyes?
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. You know, if your hands are not clean, don't touch each other's faces. Others wipe your hands and then touch each other's faces without getting into the kissing. Eye gazing and talking about how you're feeling and what you're experiencing and the sensations you're feeling. What's rather bring in the intimacy of talking, which is really enhancing to any sexual or intimate relationship. And then a point I really, really do want to make very strongly is please do not use saliva. Now, I'm sure many people know what I mean by that is people are pretty lazy and what they do is lick their fingers and then start stimulating each other's genitals, right? You've heard about that?
Yeah.
Right. You can't do that. You just cannot use your saliva to make sure that a woman's genitals or get a woman's genitals to be wet or to get to do a hand job on a man. You just can't use your saliva. You have to use lubricants. And because I feel so strongly, I'm giving lubricant away for free. Please, anything that you order from my store, Asagai is fantastically generous. And we are giving sachets of lubes away. To everybody, you've got to place the order because otherwise it's just too expensive to send it out to all of you. But please do that. We'll lower the price of our postage. I want you to have lubricant on hand to be able to play with lube on each other's bodies and then to wash it off because it's all water-based or else it's silicone-based and it's safe. And wash it off with a sanitizer or with soap afterwards.
So I knew this was going to be fun, not just because absence makes the heart grow fonder, and we always love each other when we haven't been on radio together for us. But I am fascinated. The first 20 minutes has flown by, and I must say, some of the things are news to me, which doesn't mean I know everything, obviously, but also just so really, really, really interesting, like about saliva. But if touching can be dangerous, how do we deal with that? Let's say, for example, you want to have penetrative sex vaginally or anally, and you've now ordered Dr. Eve's amazing lubes, but I'm still going to hold you from behind. Should I, as a precaution, both of us rather move from the lounge to the shower? How do we get around that if we want to be maximally safe? Because, okay, I'm not going to put spit in your anus. Fine, I get the point. But I still might be squeezing your body, and who knows where my hand has been.
Yeah. What you really have to do, as I said, is to wash your hands. The other big thing, wash your hands before you start engaging in sexual play and touching with each other. You really need to wash your hands so that when you're caressing each other's bodies, you've got clean hands. I just keep sanitizer with me. I mean, that's like my best friend. Like, I've got a bottle of Luvin sanitizer on the other hand. I really wish you people would walk around like that. Bottle of lube, bottle of Assegai lube, and a bottle of sanitizer in your hand.
And Bob's your uncle.
And a condom. You're set, right? And you're set. Let's not ever forget about the condom. Your condom, your lube, and your sanitizer, and you are good to go.
I think we can close shop right there. 30 minutes of playing the national anthem. Dr. Eve has wrapped us up for the week. Don't spit, number one. Number two, a bottle of Assegai lube. Number three, a packet of condoms. Number four, hand sanitizer. Have a lekker weekend. We'll talk again on Monday at 9 o'clock. Not quite. Hello, Freedom.
Good morning, Yusuf. Yes, how are you?
I am delighted that we have the wisdom of Dr. Eve making sure that our libidos don't go through the window because of the pandemic, as long as we are rational and evidence-informed. What do you want to share, or what do you want to ask?
What I want to ask Dr. Eve is that she just insisted that the COVID-19 cannot be sexually transmitted. But then what I read this morning on The Guardian was that that's why there is a case where they proved that it can be transmitted via oral sex, which makes sense to me because obviously the fluids are passed from your mouth to the whatever part that you'll be engaging in.
Freedom, that's a very good question. And there is, you know what, that's why I've enjoyed the wisdom of Dr. Lynn Morris this morning and the other day when we had her on the show. It's so beautiful to me, as dangerous and tough as it is for us existentially, Dr. Eve, how much scientists and folks like your son are in real time learning about this thing. And as lay people, we have to catch up very, very, very quickly. We know, for example, that the acid in our stomach can kill many things, which is why with HIV, the risk when it comes to giving someone a blowjob and swallowing is actually statistically quite low. But in the case of COVID-19, do we know anything?
I know nothing, as I said, about the research, but that's where the condom comes in. You've got to just put the condom onto the penis. And the other thing that is being promoted are dental dams. Now, I know we're not big on dental dams in this country. And for people who don't know what they are, just take a condom and cut it. It's a piece of latex that goes over a woman's vulva. And you can lick over it and put your fingers under it to stimulate it. Clean fingers, sanitize clean fingers underneath to stimulate. So you lick over the piece of latex and you can stimulate under the piece of latex. And that's how we're going to keep such. So, Freedom, really brilliant question. We don't want to be putting saliva directly onto the penis. We want to have a condom over each penis.
Okay.
702.
Talking Sex.
24 minutes before noon. I'm very proud of myself for what I just did not do. You're not going to ask what, Dr. Eve?
What? I'm just so curious. Tell me, what did you not do?
I successfully did not scratch my nose, and I had an itch just on top of it. It is so hard not to.
I know. That's why I just walk around with the tissue as well. You have to just have a tissue, and then, of course, please dispose of your tissues immediately.
That's a good point. I've got a tissue right here. Let me do that. Although I'm playing games with myself. I'm trying to see how incredibly resilient can you be in challenging yourself to not actually touch it? And then some hand sanitizer in the meantime. Shall we take a call or shall we move on to another factoid that you have?
Let's take a call. I'm really curious to know what people as you said, people are informing us. And as you said just now, you see this, as it's just like the scientists are learning as they go along. we're learning about sexual health and where people's real anxieties are lying as we talk today.
And our, you know, and I really mean this. I've said this once or twice during the weekend. I hope people don't think that I'm being all old and have read too much French philosophy. There's lots of vulnerabilities that we all secretly carry around what's happening to us in the world and in society. Let's voice them. I mean, we've got the capacity for language and communication. Let's talk about what we are feeling, and jointly we are going through this thing as a species. So what are your fears? Let's be honest about it. If you've dropped off your partner this morning because you are working at home, my partner dropped me off at work. He works at home. I kiss as I get out of the car. Now, I'm okay with kissing him, not least because he's sexy. But when I do kiss him, I think to myself, oh, we've just had physical contact. So those kinds of things. Are those thoughts that come into your head? How are you navigating stuff in the bedroom? 011-883-0702. It is a non-shaming space. We are all learning, and we all may be secretly having a million and one anxieties and questions. What are you doing? What are you not doing? And I'm very curious, by the way, humans of Tinder and Grindr.
Yeah.
Have you gone on less often or not? I was on Grindr yesterday and I saw one person had on their profile, which fascinated me, that they are looking for FaceTime play. And I thought, ooh, look at you, very responsible. So not looking to meet physically, but actually prepared for FaceTime. Obviously, you've got to be very careful that all sorts of things like revenge porn doesn't come back to bite you in the behind come Christmas. But how are you behaving if you use, for example, sex apps? Are you stop using them? Are you logging on? Are you meeting? Or are you doing something different? Maybe agreeing to phone sex, for example. We'd love to hear from you. Matumi, good morning.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I have three questions, actually. First question is, you mentioned soaping in the shower or in the bathtub. So what specific antibacterial soaps can one get that could be as effective as a sanitizer?
Okay, that's question one. Good question.
Yeah. Question two is more directed to Dr. Eve, is that the lack of, you know, kissing. How, like, won't that be eliminating some part of intimacy between, you know, partners? And then question three is the kissing of other body parts. Is that advised or not?
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Lovely questions. Thank you, Matumi. Thank you so much.
All right. Cool.
Let's take them each in turns. Yeah. Is there soap that is not the right kind of soap at this time?
Okay. So let me say that all my data is gathered from my son and also from really listening to experts from the CDC and WHO whilst I was in New York. And apparently, and please, you must fact check this because it changes every day, that you do not have to use antibacterial soap. You just need to be using soap to get rid of the droplets, any kind of soap. So we don't have to go be buying expensive antibacterial soap. You do have to be using sanitizer. I mean, the joke's going around, like, just kind of sniff tequila or just get some alcohol because alcohol will kill it. You know, that's going to happen, right? So it is about just using soap and water and sanitizer, which does have alcohol in it. You don't have to buy fancy bacterial soap. Eliminating intimacy, you know, this is why I'm so kind of excited about the possibility of bringing in new intimacy. And I'm really urging people, because for me, sexuality is not just about sex. Eusebius and I are focusing on sexual health. I'm sure that next week we're going to be focusing on managing isolation and also looking at different forms of intimacy and dating. We're going to keep kind of picking up the different themes. This is a new form of intimacy. This is a new normal now, Matumi, right? It's a new form of intimacy. So we're going to do away with kissing, but you're going to do something like sensual massaging with beautiful oils, which is going to be able to give you a different form of communication. You're going to be able to do penetration and talk. Maybe you're not doing it. You're going to maybe leave the lights on, whereas before you did it in the dark. And now you can communicate more. You can maybe just do some form of spooning with each other, without doing the kissing. You can talk about the kissing and how you long to do the kissing. It's a conversation that people have not had that we now can be having. So, that's that. In terms of eliminating...
Can I add to that, Dr. Eve? I think the other opportunity that comes with this crisis is the intimacy, and you mentioned it, but I want to pause over it, the intimacy of dialogue.
Yeah, very much so.
Because we are creatures of habit, maybe you've been having sex or being intimate, you know, fairly in a formulaic manner. You just get on with doing it however you do. And when there is disruption, and now we have biological disruption because of this darn virus, it also means that you suddenly have to speak to one another. And it's amazing. Maybe the feelings you last felt during the early stages of courting, when you first saw him at the other side of the bar counter as a student bartender, maybe those, you're going to feel those feelings for the first time because we're compelled to not talk to each other. And my goodness, the silent treatment you've been giving each other for 3 weeks now leads to an intimacy of conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I spent my wonderful courting time walking around Central Park. I mean, gloves, hats, scarves, but so much talking, so much incredible intimacy in that way. Learning things about each other that you don't talk about, that you've forgotten about each other. I'm going to keep what I am doing, Eusebius, as a form of civic duty and responsibility and love for people in this country, that every day I'm going to be having a live Facebook chat. Every single day, please follow me. It's going to be around 12 o'clock either in the day or else we're going to set a time in the evening with a different theme for people to be able to join in community, because this is utterly important that we continue to have conversations in community with people to manage isolation. And there we're going to also talk about how to be having these difficult conversations with partners during this time. So, as I say, lots more to talk about besides just how to manage to be sexually cautious with each other right now.
16 minutes before noon, Talking Sex with Dr. Eve. She's back. And we've had a fantastic show thus far this hour. Well, the entire show, really, including the kids' questions in the middle hour for the doctor. But this is an adult radio segment. What questions have you got for her? What are your experiences as well, given COVID-19? We're not only talking about people who are in relationships. Some of you are single. If you are single, but you are sexually active and you do a lot of casual dating, for example, have you thought about your behavior? Maybe I can ask Dr. Eve, other side of the break, for us to go into that theme. But I want to know what you are actually doing or not doing. Are you masturbating more? Do you think that wanking is safer than hooking up with a casual person who's 5 meters away, your neighbor on Grindr? Or are you still taking the risk? And if you are taking the risk, are you thinking about perhaps what to do? Wear personal protective equipment when you knock at the door? 13 minutes before noon, talking sex, love, and intimacy in the time of Corona. Casual hookups, do's and don'ts?
Yeah, casual hookups, don't. I've just got this fabulous tweet now, which I'm going to read to you. I'm not sure if you got it, your side. Really, thank you to, Nkosi, who says...
Yes, he's a regular listener, and I've met him once, and he loves this segment. You want to read it out and then engage it?
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I'm wondering if there is a psychological explanation, a link, or as to why it seems that people are hornier than usual during this COVID-19 period. Is the fact that we're isolating us make us feel the need to be sexual more than usual? Maybe it is because you're feeling anxious, and when you masturbate, you lessen your anxiety. So I'm in it for masturbation. And if you have a new sexual partner, please just engage in mutual masturbation. Touch your own genitals, sanitize your hands, touch your own genitals, and have that experience. Introduce it. He or she's going to love it and come back for more because they're going to think you're really creative and inventive and doing something a little out the box, not just kind of going for the penetration. So definitely masturbation is something which is there. I've also really, I mean, found it really interesting how my sex toy sales have increased. And I'm really not here to capitalize on coronavirus, just the opposite, really awful, which is why we're giving away lubes. But the fact is that that's what people should be doing. It's just, this is a great time to do it. And so let me talk a little bit about your sex toys. Please wash them with warm and soapy water before you use them. Please do that. And wash them with warm soapy water after you have used them. Please do not share your sex toys with each other. Do not take them from one genital to another, one body part to another. Just make sure that you each have your own sex toys and just keep them clean, wash them together with your hands, and you're safe, you're good to go.
Okay, I was saying to Nkosi, because this is an anecdotal question, I want to know from other listeners as well, and I promise you I'm not trying to be voyeuristic, whether you were speaking of himself, whether he chatted to mates, because my hypothesis, as I just said to him in a tweet, was the opposite, that maybe people are having less sex and feeling less sexy because the anxiety levels may be interfering. So it's really interesting. And he has responded openly and said, yes, Eusebius, I've actually been hornier than usual. I even joked about it on the timeline, and a few people shared the same sentiment with me. So that is kind of interesting. I suppose no two people or two groups of people are the same. Some people, the anxiety may make them not want to be intimate, but it is interesting that there are a group of people who suddenly find themselves hornier.
Okay, which is the in fact, I think the most important part of his tweet that you left out was the part that he says, I then realize I'm not the only one. Straight away, we've got Lorata and her pumps coming in saying, I honestly thought I was the only one. This is so important, because if we, whether you're in quarantine or you're not, whether you're practicing social distancing, you need community. Please join me every day on my live chat. We need to be feeling like we're not alone and we're not the only ones who are feeling horny or have lost our sexual interest. By joining group chats, you will feel so much more contained. There are many, many, many people all over the world who are offering, whether it's, you know, free dance classes, meditation, Pilates classes, whatever you want is online now. Join a Zoom group, but join me on Facebook and let's talk about any sexual concerns or fun. Let's make it fun and sexy, whatever you want to make it, so that we all feel as if we're not the only ones. Because that really is brings to us to depression. And before the show's done, I really do want to give out the number of SADAC. So people can call in. I'm sure you've done that already. But you let me know and then we can give that out for people who are feeling.
We'll do so in a minute. I haven't actually done that. So thank you for flagging that, Dr. Eve. We definitely will do that. There are just two questions I want us to explore. We've got 4 minutes left, and I want to just go to two of them. Firstly, a tweet, then the two questions, then we'll give out the number, and then we'll end there. This tweet is fantastic. Sex intimacy in the time of corona. Dr. Eve is making valid points. Hopefully, even post-COVID-19, it'll be entrenched in us, and it'll become a norm to practice personal hygiene pre- and post-coitus and masturbation. And that's the point, isn't it? That a lot of our behavior may result in new norms. I honestly think, however the world emerges out of this, even if we flatten the curve overnight, I really think many aspects of our lives, economically, politically, in terms of intimacy, chunks of it will never be the same again.
I'm so hoping so. And you know, I had this experience yesterday at the airport with such heightened anxiety, everybody. I was witness to something which was really horrific for me. There was a group of 27 Chinese students who were at the airport getting on the same flight as me, and they were young students. And as the flight, we were about to board, they were herded off as a group and were told they weren't allowed to board because the city in China where they were, wherever they were going, had suddenly closed down. It's horrific. And what happened to the rest of the people? There was an incredible sense of empathy and compassion. An incredible sense of that. And everyone on the planes was sharing stories and talking. I would never talk to the person next to me. I spoke to everybody. There is a wonderful sense of community and people needing to get because of trauma. And I really hope that things like that are going to continue.
Okay, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask about technology. We're always cautious, particularly because bad people are not going to go away. We're not all going to become virtuous just because we are suddenly going through this together. Some will come out with their moral compasses a bit improved or suddenly found, but some people will continue to be nasty. If I'm tempted to reduce contact physically by having, for example, phone sex, or by having, you know, using my phone, and we see each other on, I don't know, on all these kind of sort of FaceTime technologies and variations on them, what are you advising there? The last thing I want is to buy the Sunday World, and there's a story of Dr. Eve having had, you know, some person spilling the beans.
I absolutely have included that as in part of what I'm talking about. Please be aware of online scamming and video without your permission. Please be extra cautious. I am not paradoxically, ironically, we have to be online. And I'm also promoting the fact that we shouldn't just be voice to voice. We really want to be doing face to face with people. Just put in a caveat, you cannot video me.
Absolutely.
You cannot video me.
Very South African Depression and Anxiety Group do amazing work. What is the number?
011-234-4837. For the
011-234-4837.
And then for 24-hour helpline, 0800-456-789.
0800-456-789. 24-hour helpline. If you feel like you're going through difficulty, please reach out. Dr. Eve, what a beautiful hour. Thank you so much. It's wonderful having you back.
Thank you. Lovely to be back. Everyone take care. See you on Facebook. Bye.